Well, guys, I'm excited to hang out with you tonight. Pastor Talia is hanging out in Grow Track 1, and so you're stuck with me. But hey, I'm glad to and excited to be with you guys. And I'm going to jump right in because I'm going to share a few things with you. And then Jeremiah Campbell's going to come in and join me, and we're going to do some group work together. And then we'll come up and come back up and wrap up tonight. But we're going to talk tonight about the purposeful pursuit of your potential. By now, I hope you realize through Starting Point, through Grow Track 1, and now Grow Track 2, you have God-given potential. Some of you, I know you, and God's using you in that potential. Some of you here, maybe you're just still kind of like, really, God? Like, you really, you want to use me? I don't have much to offer you, God, but okay. You know, some of you are maybe doubting that. Some of you are maybe struggling with that. But tonight we're going to talk about that a little bit further. And, you know, God has been stretching you guys. He's been pushing you a little bit through Grow Track 2. And it's been so amazing to see you guys grow. And with that growth comes this reality that, guess what? All of you have a calling on your life. Did you know that? Maybe some of you are hearing that and you're like, wait a second. No, that can't be true. No, you do. Each and every one of you in this room, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God's called you. He's called you to do specific things that only you can do, okay? And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm really excited about it. And so let's talk about this idea of the call, the calling that God has on your life. And so number one, under understanding your call, we're just going to jump right in. Everyone is equally called by God to do what he created them to do. Everyone, right? Just some people, that's where you say no. Everyone, right? You with me? Y'all are enjoying this food. Man, it's going to be tough to keep y'all focused tonight. But everyone, not just me, a pastor, or Pastor Jeremy, or Pastor Talia that went to Bible college. No, you have a calling, too, on your life. It might not be to be a full-time pastor or minister or missionary, but you do have a calling, and everyone is equally called by God. God has a calling for everyone. Everyone that is a follower of Jesus has a calling. And check this out. In fact, you are a solution. Everybody say solution. You're a solution to something in this world. Did you know that? Let that settle in for a little bit. You are a solution. Not just certain people, but you. You're a solution to something in this world, some situation, maybe even to a people group, wherever that is. God has called you and only you to accomplish that thing. And he can use you. He wants to use you. And so my heart, my prayer this afternoon has been that some of you in this room receive that and accept that, because some of you are fighting against that idea that, man, God's doing a lot in my life. I'm glad to be a part of Grow Track 2, but how could God really call me? How could God really use me? And that, I want you to drown out that lie from the enemy that he can't use you and call you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us, "For we are God's masterpiece." So you are a masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. So what does that tell us? That tells us that long ago, God had a plan for you, to call you, to use you. Yes, to call us to know him, to serve him, have a relationship with him. He's called us to make disciples, not just pastors, not just, you know, ministers, but all of us to make disciples. He's got a calling on your life. Psalm 139:13 through 16, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." And some of us, like myself, are incredibly complex, right? "Your workmanship is marvelous." I love that. Marvelous. How well I know it. "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." All of us have a calling. God has something for all of us. Number two, everyone is equally responsible to respond to the call and fulfill it. You have a choice, right? It's yes or no is the answer. but you are responsible for that call. But you can say yes to it. You can say no to it. Please understand tonight, though, as we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, when we truly surrender, and we've been talking about that a little bit, right? This idea of really, really, truly surrendering to Jesus and say, Lord, your will be done in my life, right? That's a dangerous prayer. Just heads up, right? Really surrender and say, God, your will be done in my life. Take my life and do with it as you will. There is a calling that comes with that. And all of you have a calling. There's a calling that we become responsible for. Now, saying that, don't be scared of that. I don't want that to scare you tonight. I want that to propel you and excite you tonight. Because with that calling, right, he's going to equip you. He's going to give you what you need, no matter how big and impossible it may seem, right? You may think that it seems small and insignificant to be a mouthpiece for God in your workplace, but that's part of your calling. God's called you to do that, right? Or maybe some God's put something pretty crazy on your heart and in your life. You feel like part of your calling is to do something pretty extravagant, and you don't tell anybody because it scares you. And I get that, but God will equip you for what he's called you to do. Number three, the call of God is not optional. It's not optional for those who choose to follow him. This is really key, guys. As you are now in Grow Track 2, and as you transition out of Grow Track 2, and you begin to possibly go into Grow Track 3, it's important that you understand that the call that God has on your life, it's not optional. God's called you to do specific things for him, for his glory, for the kingdom of God, and he wants you to pursue it, right? Many of the happiest people that I know are those that are pursuing and living out the calling God has for their life. On the flip side of that, some of the most miserable people that I know in my life are those who have chosen to walk away and run away from the calling that God has in their life. It's just so true. Maybe you know people like that too. You know, I've counseled and talked with people that are just, the more I get to know them and we dig a little deeper, right, and we start to hash some things out, I start to hear so many times that, well, you know, God called me to do this. I felt like the Lord called me to do this, but man, I really messed up and I just know I can't do that. I'm disqualified from that. I know God can't use me because of this or because of that. And so they just move on with their life and they're miserable, right? And we don't want that for you. Number four, the call of God is permanent and cannot be taken away. So as scary as it may be, it's permanent. It can't be taken away from the enemy. As much as he fills you with fear or doubt or worry or whatever, it cannot be taken away from you. It is permanent, and God wants to use you. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. It means it can't be taken away, right? He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace and to whom he sends his call. He believes in you. Some of you need to start believing in yourself and trust him that he can use you. Is it scary? Absolutely. You know, I shared a couple weeks ago in Starting Point in week three about how God called me and my wife and my family to France, and I was scared to death. Scared to go to another country where I didn't know the language, scared to figure out how to raise the money to go. But when God's in it, he does it, and he will equip you, he will help you. And if he can send some knucklehead Southeast Texas kid to Paris, France, he can use you, I promise. He can do amazing things with the calling that he has on your life, okay? Good stuff. God's calling. You better pick up the phone. Better pick it up. Don't send that to voicemail because he'll keep calling. Just kidding. Just kidding. Well, let's jump to this next section of recalling your call. And I believe in Starting Point now. How many of you have been in Starting Point, say, in the last 6 months? Anybody? Okay, y'all may have done this. We've kind of changed it up through time. Some of you have been in Starting Point years ago. But in week three, we talk about discovering your purpose, and right now in Starting Point, they talk about this idea, and that's number one, what your unique shape do you have? What unique shape do you have? And it's an acronym that I'm going to give you here, and so, but all of us have a unique shape, amen? Amen. But let's not think about that part. But the S stands for spiritual gifts, right? God has given you spiritual giftings, a set of special abilities that God has given you to share his love and to serve others with, right? That's the S for your shape. H is your heart. All of us have a heart, right? And our heart basically are these special passions. God, you've got certain special passions that God's given you so that you can glorify him on earth. And he wants you to use those passions, right? A is abilities. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, I don't have any abilities. Yes, you do. God's got a calling. You've got abilities that I don't have, right? Abilities, a set of talents God gave you when you were born, which he also wants you to use and make an impact for him, right? P is personality. Hello, everybody's got a personality, right? Some people got more personality than some, but we all have a unique personality, and God designed you that way. He wants to use it, right? That special way God wired you, we all have different wiring, and God wired you that way to navigate life and fulfill your unique kingdom purpose, personality. And then E is experiences. We've all got experiences, good, bad, ugly, awesome, memorable, some you want to forget, right? We all have experiences, and that plays a role in your calling, plays a role in what God wants to do in your life. Those parts of your past, both positive and painful, which God intends to use in great ways. So you all have a unique shape, and that's important to remember when it comes to your calling, okay? And then number two, what unique gifts have been given to you by God? And some of you may be sitting here, and you still don't know what those are. Some of you do know what they are. Some of you are sitting on your gifts. Just being honest. You're sitting on your gifts, and I don't know what you're waiting on. And God doesn't either, and he loves you. And he wants to use those gifts to glorify him and to glorify his work. And man, don't let time go by sitting on those gifts, right? What resources has God placed in your hands? You know, think about that, you know. I know some people that are just business owners, they're entrepreneurs, and they just know how to make money, right? And some of them are believers, right? And I'm thankful for them. As a missionary, hello, I was thankful for them, you know, that believed in God spoke to them to give towards what we were doing, right? And that's just one example of so many, right? Some of you know how to do certain things that the rest of us in this room don't know how to do. What resources do you have that God wants to use? And maybe some of you have like never really asked that question. God, how can I use the resources, the gifts that I have? Number three, what has God already spoken to you about your calling and your purpose? What has he already spoken to you? And how many of us are running from that? Because we're scared. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But how many of us we just feel we're disqualified? Because it was years ago that we knew that, and life happened, and we made choices, and maybe some weren't the best, and we think, well, there's no way God can do that anymore. Maybe he can. Maybe it's not exactly the same way he was going to do it, but he still can, and you're not done, and he's not done with you, right? Okay? And number four, what have you done with what you already know? Some of you know some of this. And my question is to you, what have you done with what you already know? I wrote this on the board. I have horrible handwriting. But it is three circles. And they are meant to run together, I promise. But here's this idea. And it's kind of this idea of finding your sweet spot, right? Kind of goes along with the shape that we're talking about, your calling. And you've got opportunity, right? Let's see if I can spell right. Man, you're going to mess me up. Don't do that. You got your passions, right? And so these two things are important, right? And then you have your gifts. Don't forget the gifts, right? And God has given all of you guys these things. All of us have these, right? We have gifts. You may not realize it, but you do have gifts, right? You have passions, right? You have passions for certain things that I'm not passionate about, but through those passions, you can reach people that have the same passions, right, that go with that. And then there's opportunities, right? And when you bring these three things together and the Lord begins to work, there's this little spot here in the middle where they all kind of come and intersect together. That's your sweet spot, right? And God wants to, he's got this calling for you, right? And sometimes there's little detours, and this kind of gets all messed up, right? Anybody been through a detour in life? By choice, not by choice, whatever. And we think all this goes out the window. But as we fall back in love with God, right, we find out that those passions are still there. Or maybe they've changed a little bit, right? Or our giftings, right? There was a time when I left France, and I thought I was going to be a senior pastor, like Pastor Jeremy. I did it for 2 years, and I quickly figured out, that's not me. I don't want that, right? I mean, I did it, and I learned a lot, but man, it was probably the hardest 2 years of my entire life. I thought France was hard. I think God was using France to prepare me to go back to my hometown, to Beaumont, Texas, and be a pastor for 2 years and take a church that was only 2 years old and have to restart it, start it all over, move locations, and convince everybody, the 40 people that were left, that that's what we needed to do. Seriously. I mean, it was hard. And it's an experience that I God did so much through it. I think I would do it again, I think. I really would. But I just say that to say that sometimes, you know, our passions shift, and I realized through that experience that that I'm better in a role where I get to lift up the arms of the senior guy. That's just my heart to encourage Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Talia, Pastor Alvin, Pastor Dan. I'm their biggest cheerleader, and I love them, and that's my heart, right? And so I just say all that sometimes there's detours. Sometimes we get in our own way. Sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, and we realize quickly that we're not. And, you know, there's just all these different things. But you have a sweet spot right there, and what talents has God given you? What gets you excited, right? What has God put in your path? And there's that sweet spot, right? There's this calling that God has for your life. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to break up into groups. Jeremiah's going to come on up here. He just walked in. Sorry, bro. You cannot have any of that food yet. I'm sorry. And so that was good timing. Yeah. But he's going to kind of introduce some group work that we're going to do together before we move forward.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Stephen. All right. As he said, we're going to break up into groups. And what we're going to do is we're going to break up into two halves of this room. So I'm going to need this hole to just, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that crazy. We're going to have to split. You two do this and you two do that. It'd be too hard. So we're going to go and we're going to read a couple passages. So this table, and the back table, if y'all could go in and read 1 Samuel 3. We're going to read about Samuel. Now, this table and these three tables here, we're going to read about Mary. So go to Luke 1, 1, 2, and this back one right here, 3. Y'all are over here with Mary. Yes, and so y'all go to Luke 1, 26 through 38. So what we're going to do and what we're looking for in here, we're going to read these passages. We're going to focus in on those two characters. And we're going to ask three questions. The three questions we're going to ask is, one, what was the person called to do? Number two, what characteristics or personality traits do you think made them good candidates for that specific calling? And number three, what was their response? Everybody, we're good, clear, everybody know which stories they're reading, which people they're focusing in on. All right, we're going to take about 10 minutes to do this, and we're going to come back together, and we're going to get some group responses on those questions. All right, everybody, you got about one more minute to discuss, and then we're going to talk about it.
Starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
All right, everybody. Did we all come to a consensus? Have we figured it out? James, we got one confident guy. He said yes. 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 How about y'all? Back table or side table or combined table? Mostly, yeah. You know, that's good in most places. Actually, probably 70, right? So if you got 95, you're well above average. That's good. They lower. Have we really lowered it to 60 now? So you can get an F and still pass?
No. Once you get that letter grade, it's done.
Oh, so now 60 is not an F anymore?
D is no longer like done. D is degree.
Oh, okay. So I would have been fine, man. I just missed it by just a little bit. Yeah, I should have been in school now. Yeah, I was in the wrong time. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like stuff's a lot harder nowadays anyway, though. All right, well, we're going to start over here with Samuel. And, you know, we're just going to do this. You raise your hand. I'm not going to call on anybody unless I have to. And so let's go. First question, what was the person called to do? What was Samuel called to do? Anybody? Just shout it out. Be a prophet. Very good. That was a hard one. That was a hard question. Duh, be a prophet. Okay. What characteristics or personality traits do you think made him a good candidate for that specific calling? Yes, ma'am. Honesty, obedience, and his willingness. Well, that's an awesome one. Willingness. He was attentive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't ignoring that voice. He immediately woke up. Yeah. Probably out of a dead sleep, I would imagine. He probably wasn't sitting up in the middle of the night, you know, shaking or something. I mean, he was probably sleeping. You know. So you're right. He was attentive, and that's a good quality in any kind of, especially a prophet. I would imagine you want your prophets to be attentive. Anything else? What? Any other characteristics y'all came up with? Persistent. He said attentive. Yeah. Persistent is, that's a good one, too. I mean, we all know that sometimes we don't exactly do things exactly how we should or follow through in the exact way, or it doesn't always turn out. So being persistent and not being afraid to make mistakes, but continuing on with that calling and that purpose. It's not about perfection, and so that's good. Okay, let's go on to number three. What was his response? Okay. She was waiting for number three. Oh. He purposely pursued his calling. You had to get a lot of P's in there, too, so you have to say it really slow. He purposely pursued his calling. That's awesome. Is that the title of tonight? See, now you have to go back and come up with something else. You can't cheat. Okay. You know what? I'll allow it. I'll allow it. That was really good. All right. This part of the room. Number one, what about Mary? What was she called to do? It felt weird even asking that question because I know it seems obvious. Yes, she was called to carry Jesus, be Jesus's mother. So I dare ask this question: what characteristics or personality traits do you think made her a good candidate for that? Faithfulness, a servant's heart. That's a really good one, and trust is a good one. But I want to talk about a servant's heart. To be a parent, especially a mama, you really got to have a servant's heart. Amen. Yeah. See, I knew I'd get one. I got one amen. It's from my wife. We got four kids, and they're all babies. So, yeah, that's a lot of poop. Okay, so that you're in our boat. I don't know what our you add them up. They're like 86 months, but we got only a lot of month olds. So, a lot of poop, a lot of diapers, a lot of being a servant. So, yes, that's perfect. I love it. Honesty. You're right. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I believe Mary felt, and we have scriptural proof of that. Like, Jesus was Jesus. You know, he's healing people and, you know, miracle.
What?
That is very good. That's the elephant in the room. Like, nobody over here wanted to, like, say it. Everybody was, like, tiptoeing around, like, she's honest. She's a servant. Jolene comes out. She's a virgin. That was a prerequisite, though. It was like, check. She's pure. She's check. Yes, ma'am. That's very good. Yeah. And she really did. And you would have to be. How much humility would it take to really be the mother of Jesus and knowing, like, the Savior of all mankind? You are the mother. I mean, that it would take just utter humility, I would think. So that's perfect. That's really good. Okay. And what was her response? Yeah. Yeah. Willingly. She purposely pursued her purpose. Again. Yeah. See, and strength on the back end, yeah. But what about strength on the front end? That culture in that day and time, if you became pregnant out of wedlock, you were shunned. You were just tainted. I mean, think of the scrutiny that she had to go through and what she had to deal with given that time that she lived in. So you're right. I mean, strength, she would have had to have just great strength. Yeah. Well, of course she would. I mean, she knows the culture, she knows the customs, she knows the tradition, and she knows that if she takes this on, that there's no explanation. She wasn't married yet. She had not married Joseph. She knew that she was going to be under great scrutiny. She was going to be called horrible things. She was going to be shunned, probably by her family even. I mean, so there was a lot of things that she was taking on, a lot of burdens, not just the physical aspect and you know, execute. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that, so yeah, strength, that's a really good one. That's awesome. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unwarranted, because she knew the truth, but that doesn't remove that guilt and that shame that's placed on her by other people, and that'll preach right there. We can go into all that, because I know we all have some of that from time to time. Yes, Dan. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of us are like frightened by when God tells us to go and talk to that person in Walmart and, like, speak a word to him. I mean, how if he comes to you and says, well, you're going to have the Messiah, you know, and like, that's a tough one. Like, okay, yes, Lord, I'll follow. Yeah. Oh, so it's not like a flippant thing that comes. It's like something much bigger. Yeah. Yeah, that's more than, hey, I just need you to go tell this person that Jesus loves them. Yeah, you're right. All right. So what was Mary's response? Yeah, trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, and she was fighting against.
She had no option. It's back to our number three.
Yeah.
On page 1.
Yeah.
There was no option for her because she loved God.
Mm.
I think Mary's life in general, her entire testimony, just paints such a beautiful picture of what it truly means to submit your life to God. Like,
that is true surrender.
A lot of times, Christians, we believe that it's a false belief, but we believe that when we submit to God, everything can be beautiful and wrapped up in the
exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. Paul was in prison. Mary probably got ridiculed. I mean, sometimes submitting our life to God doesn't mean that everything is going to be beautiful and perfect all the time, but there is a greater reward once we get there. Correct.
Well, and she had to walk through life, I would imagine, at some point, with a comprehension of what she was going to be losing as well. I mean, we know that God sacrificed his only son, but, I mean, Mary... I mean, what did Mary have to deal with, and what did she have to go through, and what did she have to witness, too? I mean, can you imagine the pain in that? And so, I mean, having a child and knowing that child was going to be taken from you in an excruciating, terrible way. I mean, I don't know that she knew the whole gravity and understood that, but, I mean, Mary has some great strength, and so I think that was a good one to highlight tonight about a calling and a purpose Anyway, all great answers and great discussion. Well, with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Steven so he can finish this out.
All right. Good job, guys. Well, you saw in your notes there that there's a few other people from Scripture that you can look into, and I encourage you guys to do that. I'm going to actually talk about a few of these individuals here as we finish up. And on your own time, answer those same questions of these other individuals. And we see the responses of Mary, of Samuel. We're going to dive into that just to kind of finish up in this next section called Responding to Your Call. What is your response to the call that God has on your life? There can be lots of different responses, and so let's talk about that a little bit, okay? Number one, a response could be to disobey and neglect your call. A lot of times that's a lot of people's response to what God's calling them to do. For whatever reason, it can be to disobey and neglect your call. You look at the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, right? He in verses 16 through 22, I'm not going to read that, but you guys can read it later. But you look at this rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he asks these questions of Jesus. And what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he begins to talk through these things. And the young ruler begins to check off these deeds, these good deeds that Jesus listed right for him. He's like, yeah, I've done all that. I've done all these great deeds. And he begins to look a little bit closer, right? And he starts to realize that salvation does not come from just good deeds, right? He's a good young religious leader, rich young ruler, and he's done all the right things, right? He's checked all the things off the checklist. But salvation does not come from good deeds. Instead of adding another commandment, Jesus, as he's speaking to him, instead of adding another commandment or just another thing for him to keep or to a good deed for him to perform, this guy needed to submit humbly to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He hadn't done that yet. And then Jesus tells him to go and do what? To sell everything that he has, right? And he knows that's at the heart of the issue for this rich young ruler. That's the big deal for this guy. And we should be willing to give up anything if Jesus asked us to do so. And the rich young ruler wasn't willing to do that, right? And we don't hear anything else about him. We don't really know. I don't think he did it, right? And he walks away, and he walks away from that situation. And my question to us is, will you, if you're in that same type of situation? So he's an example to us of disobeying and neglecting the call, right? Then you look at Jonah. If you know scriptures a little bit, we find Jonah here in Jonah chapter 1 in the Old Testament. And he ran from the Lord, right? He ran from what the Lord had called him to do. What did he call him to do? Go to Nineveh, right? Why? To do what? Right. Exactly. And I think we mentioned this, Alyssa, you brought that up a couple weeks ago, and just, he didn't like them. He didn't like the people. He didn't really want them to make it. Right. He didn't want them to, he wanted God to smite them and get rid of them, right? And so he runs away from what the Lord had called him to do. And, you know, Nineveh was toward the east of where he was. And if you study it, Jonah decided to go as far west as he could. He did. I mean, he went as far west as he could. And when God gives us direction on a calling, right, sometimes we run in fear, right? Or in our stubbornness, arguing with the Lord that he's asking us to do too much or asking us to do something that just seems a little bit impossible. But just as running got Jonah in trouble, it does the same for us. And it'll make life hard on us as well, just as it was hard on Jonah. Jonah understood that it was best to just do what God had called him to do in the first place, right? But by then, he had paid a costly price for running from that call. It's far better to obey from the very beginning. And God has a call on your life, and some of you are scared. Some of you are timid, and God's calling you to do something, right? So that's number one. One response is to disobey, to neglect your call. Number two, another response might be to pursue your call with hesitation or reluctance, right? To pursue that call, you want to do it, you know you're supposed to do it, but you hesitate and you're reluctant to step out and do that. Look at Moses, right? Moses chapter 4. We look at the life of Moses, and this is one I want to read because I think it's just so interesting. But in verse 10 through 17 of chapter 4, it says, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord. The Lord was speaking to him and calling him, and he says, 'Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words.'" Anybody else? Right? "I'm not very good with words. I'm not very good with this. I'm not very this or that," right? "I have never been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." He's pretty honest with God. "Look, I'm not your guy to be the mouthpiece for you. I can't do this." Then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth?" Right? Who makes a person's mouth? And he slaps him upside the head with that statement. "Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? It's I. It is I. It's the Lord," right? He's basically saying, "Look, I got this. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you what you need," right? "Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." And Moses gets up and goes, and he's excited. No, he doesn't, right? But Moses says again, this knucklehead, right? We wouldn't do this, right? "Lord, please send anyone else," right? I don't want to do this, right? So he's hesitant, he's reluctant, right? Because he doesn't think he can do it. Moses pleaded with God, but God looked at Moses' problem differently than Moses did, right? And aren't we glad that God sees us differently than we see ourselves? I mean, some of you need to hear that. He sees you differently than you see yourself or other people see you, right? Some people see the mistakes, the past. Sometimes you only see the mistakes in the past, but God doesn't see that. He sees you differently, and he's got a calling for you. He sees right past our inadequacies. He sees right past our insecurities. Anybody got insecurities? I'll be the first one to raise my hand, right? He sees right past all that to your potential and to your calling, okay? Another example is Gideon, right? In Judges chapter 6, and I won't read that, but basically he continues to ask the Lord. The Lord's getting him ready to lead these men into battle, and he's just like, "God, can you give me a sign that I'm supposed to do that? God does it. Hey, God, that was great. Can you do one more? Can you do one more thing for me before? Because this is a big army, and I need you to do just one more thing." And I think it's, what, three times, right, in the story that he asked God to show up? And God's like, "Look, Joker, I mean, I did it once. I did it twice. I did it three times. You got to trust me." Man, how many signs does this guy need to know that God is going to be with him? But you know what? I my other Bible, I pulled that out to read it today, and right in the margins, I put this. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're just like Gideon, and I'm just like him, right? And I wrote in there, God, I'm just like Gideon. So many times you guide me, you provide for me, and I still need one more confirmation. How many times am I going to do that, right? And I get reluctant. I get hesitant, you know, because it's scary. And I just want to share this, you know, before we jump to the next point with you guys. There's an illustration. For those of you that are hesitant, for those of you that are reluctant, for those of you that have maybe just disobeyed that calling in your life for whatever reason, full of fear, full of doubt, full of whatever, there's a story of this man in a village in India, and he carries basically every single day two pots down to the river to get water every day for his master's house. So basically, just picture this big stick across his back, and on both ends of the stick hangs these big pots for water. One of the pots is absolutely flawless and perfect, right? The other pot, it's cracked, and it's flawed, okay? But he takes these two pots over his back, over his neck, every day down to the river, and he fills these pots with water. And he goes back up to the master's house so that they can have water for their master. And so this cracked pot over here begins to feel bad because every day he goes, and by the time it gets back to the house, it's half full. It's lost half of the water because it's cracked. The water just spills out. And this pot just feels bad. It feels like I'm not reaching my full potential. I'm not like the other pot over there that's perfect, that's full every time you get to the house, right? And so finally the pot, and it's a story, so pots don't talk to you, but the pot asks this guy as he goes down to the river. He basically just says, look, I'm so sorry. I don't know why you use me. I'm flawed. I'm only half full by the time you get to the master's house every single day. And the man talks to the pot. That's another, you know, he talks to the pot. But he says, as we go back up to the house today, I want you to look along your side of the path. And I want you to see all the flowers that are on the side of the path. And so they walk up back to the house, and this pot begins to see these flowers. And he begins to explain to him, I dropped seed over the last 2 years along this path, but only on your side, because I knew that you were flawed, and I used you anyway. I knew what was going on. I knew even though you were flawed, I was going to use you anyway, right? And there's these beautiful flowers, and he uses those flowers to pick every day and put on the master's table so that he can have these beautiful flowers. And guys, every one of us in this room, we're just like that. And some of you think that you're not perfect, that you've messed up too many times. You've got cracks and flaws in your life, and you need to understand that God can still use you. He still has a calling for your life, okay? Don't forget that. That's so important, right? Number three, usurp others in the process to pursue your call. That's another response that some people may have. So let's transition from disobeying, being hesitant, being reluctant. Let's shift to the other side. And basically, usurp means this: to seize and hold a position, office, or power by force without legal right. It's basically saying, I'm going to go get that because that looks cool. I want that calling. You know, I want to be Pastor Jeremy. I want to be like that person over there because they get to be up in front of people and they get this cool big church, right? You know, or whatever. And some people try to do that, right? There's this idea that the pretender tried to usurp the throne, okay? This idea, just picture that, where you take it by power. And there's a couple illustrations here in the scriptures of that. Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 15. This is David's son, right? And basically, you know, he would have been a good king. People actually really love this guy. But he lacked the inner character and the control needed to be a good leader. He tried to take things, right? He tried to take a calling and tried to do things in his own power, in his own way, and it didn't turn out too good, right? I'm going to try to say this name without butchering it. I've been practicing it all day. Gehazi. Did I do it? There we go. 2 Kings chapter 5. But this guy was a servant to Elisha, right? And although Gehazi had been a helpful servant to Elisha, personal gain had become more important to him than actually serving God. He tried to take it. He willingly accepted money that had been offered to someone else, right? He wrongly implied that money could be exchanged for God's free gift and healing and mercy. He lied and tried to cover up his motives for accepting the money. See, when it comes to calling, guys, you have to check your motives. If you're really wanting that, if you're really wanting something, God's got something specific for you that he wants to use you in. Don't go try to take something else or someone else's calling because he needs you to do your calling, right? So be careful with that, right? An opposite example of this is Esther. In the book of Esther, if you've read that story, she's the opposite of this, right? She doesn't try to take the call. She was patient. She was faithful in the small things, the day-to-day things. And when it was ready for her, for such a time as this, it presented itself to her, and then she went and followed that, right? And so that's the opposite example of that. Number four, follow your call. This is another response. Follow your call immediately and do exactly how God has said to do it. That's the type of response that he wants from us, right? Noah, look at Noah, right? In Genesis chapter 7, he did all that the Lord had commanded him to do. 120 years, guys, right, of building this boat. People thought he was nuts, right? When God calls you to do things that don't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, he can write the book on that, right? I mean, he had to plant the trees that were going to help, that were going to grow to build this boat. I mean, can you imagine the patience it took? But he was exact, right? Right, look at the animals, right? You look in the Word of God, the exact amount of animals that had to go in. Scholars say 45,000 animals went into this boat, right? And it had to be down to the number, right? There was this exact, immediate obedience for him. Look at Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham and Isaac, his son, and the Lord tells him to go up to this mountain and sacrifice his son. And he's willing to do it. And God, at the very end, replaces his son with this ram, and there's a sacrifice that in his place. But he was willing to be obedient in that. I don't think I could do that with Landon, my son. I mean, that's just incredible as you read that story. But what's so good about this, guys, when it comes to your call, let me tell you something. It's going to stretch you. It will stretch you. Your call is not, like Megan said, this wrapped up pretty bow and life is perfect from then. It's going to stretch you. It's going to test you. For some of you, this calling will cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you relationships. It could cost you a job. It could cost you an absolute life change when nobody else in your family understands, what are you doing? What do you mean you're doing it for the Lord? It doesn't make any sense. You're making bad decisions, right? But when you feel called to do something, to go somewhere, and God may be doing that for some of you, it will cost you, it will test you, it will push you like never before. But it is so worth it, guys. It was worth all the horrible, tough conversations with my father-in-law. My wife, Ellie, is an only child. Hello? Okay, did y'all hear that? My kids are my father-in-law's only grandchildren. He did not want me to go to France. He did not want me to go to France, you know, and everything's good now. But let me tell you, a month before we left, when he started realizing, wow, they really have raised this money, and we're in the driveway, and he begins to chew me out because he didn't think it was going to happen. And now all of a sudden he realizes, wow, they're going to go in a month. It was not easy, and it hurt our relationship. But God's healed it since then. But sometimes those things, they cost you, and it tests you, and it stretches you, okay? And then look at Jesus, right? Perfect example to us. He completed the work. He completed the calling that God gave him here on this earth, right? It was immediate. It was exact. Number five, to finish up here, guys. Completely fulfill and finish your call. I pray that would be your response, to completely fulfill and finish your call. You know, God's going to give you a call and call you to do things. Don't do it halfway. Don't give up. There's going to be times when you want to give up, but fulfill it and finish it, right? 2 Corinthians 8:11, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. John 17:4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Completely fulfill it and finish your call. Let me finish with this, and then I want to pray with you guys. Great great quote that I found when I was thinking about this idea of calling. And Frederick Buecher, he said this, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." And I just love that. And that's the thing, guys. Each and every one of you in this room have a calling on your life. And there's a deep hunger in this world that your calling meets that. The passions and the opportunities, the passions, the gifts, the shape that you have, all that comes together. And God wants to use that to reach people, to change people's lives, to bring glory to his name. And that won't happen if we don't abandon everything else and call him Lord and surrender to his will and go after that calling. And that's not always easy, but I just want to encourage you guys that you do have that calling on your life, and God wants to do that in you and through you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can I pray for you tonight? God, we love you, and this teaching has just really hit me hard tonight, Lord God. I really feel like there's some in the room tonight, Lord, that have really struggled with this, that are really struggling with this idea that you can still use them. God, that you really have called them, God, beyond their mistakes, their choices, Lord God. God, there might be some in the room that are hearing and realizing this for the first time, that you actually have called them. And God, I pray that you would speak to them and begin to show them, God, that they would just truly desire more of you, Lord, in their life and more of the plans and the calling that you have for them, that they would pursue it no matter the cost. God, there's some in the room that think like a dusty box sitting on a shelf is that calling and that will, and it's time for us to take that dusty box off the shelf, blow the dust off, and realize that you still have that calling for us. It's time that we trust you, step out, and not sit on our gifts and our calling, but run after you, God, with that calling that you gave us years ago that we've let just sit on the shelf. And God, there's some that feel they're disqualified. There's some that maybe time has passed by. God, can you still use me? And the answer is yes. And so, God, I pray that you would call every person in this room. You already have, God. We know this calling that you have. God, help us discover it. Maybe some of us, it's like, okay, now, but what is that calling? God, I pray that you would surround all of us with people that will speak into our lives and encourage us and help us as we discover that calling and begin to go after it. God, give us the strength, God, to step out when it looks scary, when it looks big. But God, you have a calling. And God, I pray that our response would be immediate. And God, that we would completely fulfill what you've called us to do for your glory and for your name. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Stephen. Thank you. All right, guys, we're going to go over the homework real quick before we dismiss tonight. This week's homework is very important for next week and for what we're going to do in class. So I want to make sure that we take a little bit of time to go over this. First, of course, we'll have a scripture memory verse, and it goes right along with this week's teaching, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable, Romans 11:29. So we want you guys to remember that. We want that to be ingrained in your mind, that years from now, months from now, you recall back on what God spoke to you in Grow Track 2. His gifts and his call are irrevocable. When we go through those difficult times that Pastor Stephen mentioned, and it's a little grueling, and the call gets to some difficult moments, that call is irrevocable. It's not, God's not taking that away from you. When we feel discouraged, when we feel like, does he still have a plan for me? Is there still a purpose for me here? Yes, his call is on our life. He has so much for us. Number two and number three, these are those key things that we mentioned. Number two says, pull out your shape profiles and gifts assessments from Starting Point or Grow Track 1. You would have done those, I think that last semester in Grow Track 1, we did shape and spiritual gifts assessment together. So you guys should have all of that. Read over those things. So go find your Grow Track 1 manual. If you can't find it or don't know where it is or don't have that information, let us know. We will help you. Your table hosts will be able to help you get that information, the assessments that we may need to send out to you guys. Write down observations or thoughts in your SOAP journal. As you remember those gifts that God's given you, the spiritual gifts from assessments that you've done, your abilities, personality, experiences, think about those things and write down some reflection. Remind yourself of who you are and what God has already said to you about your potential, your purpose, and your call. So spend some time on that this week. And then we want you to bring all of your assessments, all of those things with you next week. Bring it with you, write it down, because we're going to have a very important exercise next week that'll give an opportunity for all of us to better know and understand what God is saying and how to take the right next steps to obey. So next week, we want to empower you guys to take action on the things that God has called you to do, some things that maybe have lied dormant for some of you for some time, some things that maybe you've never really had an opportunity to really discover God's call on your life. We want to empower you next week. And so we're still talking through what that could look like. You guys know you're guinea pigs, so we are learning and experiencing, but we were talking this week, and we didn't want this to just be another teaching. We wanted to empower you guys and for you guys to have the tools that you need to step into your calling or step back into your calling. So we're excited about next week. Know that you guys won't be expected to all come up and like say, hello, my name is, these are all my gifts. Like, we're not going to ask you. It's not going to be like a presentation, but you do want to have that with you. So because we want you to be able to get the most out of next week's teaching and that's what Grow 2, this is what it's all about. We're coming on these last 4 weeks. Everything that we've learned so far, everything that God's done in us so far is to empower us and enable us to step into our calling and do all that he's called us to do. So we're excited about next week. Of course, make sure that you're continuing and you're soap reading 1 Corinthians 2 through 6 for this week. And we will come back next week, and we're excited to see all that God has spoken to you guys and all that he's going to do next week. So with all that said, please feel free to grab some food. You guys went above and beyond the request for food. So there's tons even out in the back. Some of it was just so full. So please take food with you as you go, and we'll see you guys next week.